The entire Persian Gulf region is in a holding pattern, still hoping for some peaceful resolution of the current standoff. This period has helped to further damage the already delicate economies throughout the area. Perhaps nowhere can the strains of this conflict be better illustrated than in Jordan, which has a huge Palestinian population, shares a northern border with Iraq, its chief oil supplier, and enjoys strong trade and diplomatic ties with the United States. Her Majesty Queen Noor of Jordan joins us. Queen Noor has what can be described as a singular insight into the region. She is an American by birth and a Jordanian, of course the widow of the late King Hussein of Jordan. Queen Noor has lent her voice to many humanitarian concerns that stem from a possible war with Iraq, and this week she's in the United States to raise those concerns. Queen Noor joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
That's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Do you feel that war has gone from being imminent to inevitable?
I hope and pray, as do so many others, not only in our region but around the world, that we will find a peaceful resolution to this conflict, and appreciate the active role and voice of the United Nations in the course of this debate.
Can you help us understand what this period has meant to Jordan? As we noted, Iraq is Jordan's number one trading partner. I believe the United States is the second, if I'm not mistaken. Has there been some economic damage already?
There has been continual economic stress since the first Gulf War, for a range of reasons in Jordan and throughout the region, not only because of economic sanctions and the fact that Iraq was a primary trading partner, but also because the region has been in a recession and because of the ongoing Arab-Israeli conflict, which has promoted increasing instability and an image of the overall region as a place that is violent, unpredictable, and insecure, whereas Jordan, thank God, has for decades been an oasis of stability and peace in the region, and a country that has tried to bring together all forces into dialogue and discussion and debate in order to promote a peaceful resolution of the range of conflicts that seem to surround us.
Queen Noor, what do you see as the humanitarian concerns that could begin to take place if war begins?
There are estimates that are almost 1 million internally displaced people in Iraq today, and that has occurred over the last many years, that war might add another 900,000 internally displaced people within Iraq, and another 1.5 million refugees outside the country seeking shelter. That means that possibly up to 3.5 million people will be dislocated by war. And of those refugees, of refugees in the world, about 75% are women and children. And just as troops and armaments are being positioned in the region, it's absolutely critical that that be balanced by humanitarian resources as well.
When you talk about there might be an additional 1.5 million refugees outside of Iraq, help us put faces on those numbers, too, if you could.
Well, I remember from the Gulf War in 1990-91, the numbers of Iraqis that fled Iraq. Now, again, these people would be fleeing bombs and destruction of infrastructure. Right now, 90% of the country depend to some extent on the Oil for Food program, the UN Oil for Food program. 60% depend totally on it. And with the disruption of that and water and sanitation and basic health services, there will be an immediate threat of starvation, of disease, and that's why international support is absolutely vital, that humanitarian resources are increased dramatically by those countries, not only who are engaging in the conflict, but by their supporting the UN agencies as well that play such an important role.
Can this occasionally be done right? I'm thinking of some of the desperate refugee camps that we saw right outside of Kosovo at the time of the war, and I must say, over the year that preceded, I was impressed by the number of Kosovars who were able to return to their homes and pick up, in fact, remarkably better lives.
Well, 2 million have returned to Afghanistan just in the recent period, far more than anyone expected to return to the country, which both presented challenges but also indicated a hope and confidence and commitment to return and rebuild their their countries. One of the, in Kosovo, in East Timor, in the Balkans in general, we have seen how a UN administration, while it's uneven and it's enormously challenging and takes time, can begin to make enormous progress in providing a safety net, providing services, and enabling local populations to begin to transcend the impact of war and the tragedy that could have permanently embittered and divided societies, but in fact we're beginning to see the rebuilding of multi-ethnic societies that can sustain themselves. We have to hope that that kind of international framework can also help in the Middle East in promoting multi-ethnic societies that are able to live in peace.
I understand you're in a delicate position when you speak out on certain issues, being a queen and all. But it would be wrong if I didn't ask you this question while we have the chance. You've met Saddam Hussein?
Literally to shake his hand on a couple of occasions, and that's it.
So you don't know him as well as Dan Rather does?
Not at all.
All right.
I have always tried to focus, and my husband did too, not on the personalities, but on the issues and on the people most affected by policies, whether in our region or anywhere else.
Can you help us understand any general concept you think a lot of Jordanians might have of Iraq under Saddam Hussein, Iraqis, or in general for him?
Well, yes, I can, in that the people of Iraq have inherited a culture that historically has been vibrant and dynamic and one of the richest capitals of culture and commerce throughout the ages. And they are a well-educated and dynamic and capable people. And people in Jordan hope and pray and long to partner with the people of Iraq, as do people throughout the region, to realize their full potential. And we are neighbors, we are family in the region. We live so close together, and we have so much in common.
Is there some anti-American feeling in Jordan, for lack of a better phrase for it?
I think you find in the region and throughout the world a distinction increasingly being made between American values, the America represented by the civil rights movement, the abolition of slavery, the values of freedom and equity and tolerance, and often government policies that don't seem to reflect all those values. For example, in the Middle East, particularly with respect to the Arab-Israeli conflict and the rights of the Palestinians. I think that is where the U.S. has an enormous responsibility to focus mm-hmm. more political will and to apply all of its means and resources to address a problem that, without resolution, will continue to sicken the entire area.
Do you think a series of democracies can be built in the Middle East?
I do. I think that democratic values are very consistent with our cultural values, with our religious values. I was looking today at definition of International Women's Day, which was established to signify the rights of women to justice and equality, including rights to education, to jobs, to vote, and to hold public office. And I smiled to myself because it was in the 7th century this Islam granted those rights to women. And Islam is the religion of the majority of people in our region. And true Islam, in fact, provides for a society that is responsible, that is equitable, that is peaceful, that is tolerant, pluralistic, and, God willing, a vibrant and natural partner for countries in the West, countries throughout the world, in building peace.
Well, Queen Noor, thank you.
Thank you.
Hope to speak with you again.
Thank you very much.
Queen Noor of Jordan in our studios.